children of God. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Revelation. This morning I said the wrong book of the Bible. I said Colossians 5, but it was Ephesians number 5 that I was wanting you to turn to. And I do that often, but I'm not conscious of it. I think I say it right, but Mrs. Morton says you did it wrong. And I always listen to her. So we was talking about voice of separation. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 and 17. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. And Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11. This is a two-part series, a message this morning. And we entitled it, The Death of Satan's Bride. And we've found out that God calls her the great whore, the great harlot. And it's also referred to as Babylon. Not the city, not the city of Babylon as in the book of Genesis, in the Old Testament. But Babylon refers to a system that is religious, political, and economical that is headed by the Antichrist. However, the Bible talks that she rules over the Antichrist. She's on the back, piggyback, on the Antichrist, but it won't last for long. She gets tired of this religious system at Rome, and she destroys her. But it's all done in God's will and God's plan. So it's actually God using the Antichrist to destroy this great whore or harlot called Babylon. And that just goes to show the Lord is so sovereign and powerful, he can use the devil and the demons of hell and evil men and intentions to accomplish his will. And that's why I like Psalms 68:10 said, surely, not maybe, not think so, guess so, hope so, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, God, and the remainder, what don't give you praise, he restrains. God restrains it. And so we had several points. We said, first of all, we see the announcement of judgment in verses 1, 2, and 3. Secondly, where we left off, we talked about the appeal to God's people today, and that is to be separate. Come out of her, my people. And we read that in chapter 18 and verse 5. Let's read it again. Verse 5, where we'll start today, under the second point, the appeal to God's people today. He said, well, let's read verse 4. And I heard another angel, a voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye may not be partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached into heaven, unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double. This means a double punishment. God is going to give this harlot system at Rome. Double unto her according to her works in the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. Give her double punishment for what she has done. How much has she glorified herself? And live, that word means luxuriously. She's rich. She's show off. Likes to show off her wealth. So much torment and sorrow give her. For she has said in her heart, I set a queen. Sound familiar? I set a queen. Mary has been referred to as the Queen of Heaven. as well as other things. I said a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. That's what she thinks. Therefore, here's what God says, therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. So we see here God's going to punish her with double judgment and punishment. We've seen, first of all, the announcement of judgment, verses 1, 2, and 3. Secondly, we've just finished the appeal of God's people to God's people today, verse 4 through 8. But number 3, notice the agony of the world's merchants. And that begins in verse 9 and goes through verse 19. And here we see the voice of lamentation. Lamentation means to weep uncontrollably. To weep aloud. A couple of things here I see, about 3 of them. Notice the ones that will suffer in the tribulation because Babylon is going to be destroyed. First of all, the reaction of the monarchs. Monarchs means kings, rulers. Notice the reaction of the monarchs, verse 9. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication, I said that is not talking about literal, physical fornication. It's not sexual sins. It's spiritual adultery, worship of idols. Worshiping idols. Praying to Mary. Praying to statues. And so forth. Have committed fornication and live delicious delicacy, which means luxurious with her, shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning, standing afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in 1 hour is thy judgment come. We know that from the text that Rome is the great city. In John's day, when he wrote this around 95 AD, Rome was the power that was ruling at that time. The other nations, rulers had been destroyed, such as Egypt and, let me read it to you real quick. Egypt, Assyria, Babylon, Persia, and Greece. Those had already been destroyed. And the one is, when John wrote this, well, the one that was in existence and power was Rome. Certainly Rome was the center for world trade in John's day. So the monarchs, our kings, are going to lose a great partner, a business partner. And they're going to cry and wail and weep and mourn over her because no man can buy her merchandise, her statues and candles and cathedrals that are made out of marble and gold and everything else. Not only the reaction of the mourners, the monarchs, verse 9 and 10, but number 2, the reaction of the merchants. The reaction of the merchants. Look at verse 11. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise anymore. What is the merchandise that they sell to this church at Rome? Well, their best customer. The merchandise of gold and silver, precious stones and pearls, fine linen and purple and silk and scarlet, and all fine wood. That's a very expensive wood. By the way, not only did Jeff tell me that lumber is tripling and quadrupling nearly every day, but I saw that on the news, plywood has quadrupled in a month. Plywood. Go try to buy some wood today, see what you have to pay for it. and thine all fine wood, and all manner vessels of ivory, and all manner vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and iron, and marble. Verse 13, and cinnamon, these are spices that are very, in that day, very costly. Cinnamon and odors and ointments and frankincense and wine and oil and fine flour and wheat and beast and sheep and horses and chariots. So they're going to weep because they've lost their best customer. No longer is the church at Rome buying her gold and silver to make her statues with and her cathedrals with and so forth. But notice the last part of verse 13. I didn't read it for purpose. Notice the very last part of verse 13. And slaves and souls of men. Last of all, the most disturbing is the slaves and souls of men. It has been estimated that one-third of Rome in John's day was enslaved. And it was not unusual for 10,000 human beings to be auctioned off in one day. Just like furniture auctioned at an auction today, or a car. Now, perhaps not in the sense of the ancient world, but certainly we can see an increasing loss of freedom today. I told you about the critical race theory. My friend Rick Kelly, and pastor of the Port Royal Baptist Church in Port Royal, South Carolina, he preached a sermon and he said, "Brother Morton, I want you to listen to it online." And I had no idea what he was talking about. I never heard the term, and this is only a couple of months ago, critical race theory. But yesterday, while I listened to the Christian radio station, the news, it was talking about, no, it wasn't the news, it was a program, and the guy was explaining what critical race theory means. What that means is, you and me as white people, we're racists. Yeah, we're racist. And they're teaching that, trying to get it passed in our schools. Our children are trying to be taught that it's all a lie that our parents were taught in history, that we were discovered by Christian people from England and Europe, and our first settlers were all born-again Christians who loved God and established Christian religion in America. America was built on Christian foundation and principles. And our young people in school are saying, that is all a lie. Our first foremen fathers, they were racists. Take down their statues. Have you ever seen that on TV? You don't watch the news? I don't blame you. They're taking down statues. Hey, you can't change history. No, I'm against slavery as much as anybody. But I can't help because they fought a civil war over slavery, and there's been doubt it wasn't really over slavery. But now, because of the critical race theory, that everybody thinks we're racist if we have a statue of a Confederate general, they want to take it down. That's a loss of freedom. We're supposed to have freedom of speech, and that's true except for you and me who are God's people and conservatives. Liberals can talk about anything they want. They can tell their lies. And the critical race theory is nothing more than Marxism. Karl Marx put out his manifesto, and it was about communism. And I told you about Germany. Germany, that's what they did. It was critical race theory. According to Hitler, the only people that were allowed to exist and be privileged was white people with blue eyes, a perfect race. And therefore, they were against homosexuals and killed homosexuals and killed all the Jews that they could. And you know the story about what they did to the Jews. And so Hitler, that's what Nazi. Nazi is, it means national society, nationalism. And that's what our government is today, a nationalist government. And the next step is not only is socialism and communism. So my friend Rick Kelly said, Brother Morton, they're a Southern Baptist church, and they support the cooperative program, which is the missionary gets very little of that money. Most of it goes to support teachers and schools and board members and so forth and so on. And I'm glad to say that we're independent. We don't have any board over us outside of this church. No one has authority. Nobody tells us what to do, when to do it, how much money to give. But I can say truthfully that every dime you give to missions goes to missions. And they write us a monthly letter, and there it is, all the churches that support them and how much they gave. And that's the way it ought to be. If you're going to support a missionary, all what you give ought to go to him, not divided up between 5,900 different people. So Rick Kelly had his church vote unanimous to quit supporting the cooperative program, and they were given $50,000 a year to it. Yep. They're trying to get it passed in school, Susan. They're trying to make teachers teach critical race theory. We're losing our freedoms. In what sense? Can I give you an example? Now people are going door to door wanting you to take the vaccine shot. Here's what I believe. It's your choice. The government should not insinuate or try scare tactics or make anybody take a shot. I had my shots. I took my vaccines because I had the virus and I don't want to catch it again. But you make your decision whether you want to take it or not. I'm 80 years old. What have I got to lose? How many more years you think I got? But nobody's going to knock on my door and meddle in my business and ask me all these questions and then say, have you had the coronavirus shot? That's none of their business. Amen. None of their business. We're losing our freedom. You know that. Unless your head's been in the sand for the last couple of years, or at least since the president Biden's been in. And I'm not going to go into all what he's done and how it's destroying America with drugs and letting aliens come in free of charge. And what about, hey, I said there's slaves in Rome. What about slave trade today? Have you heard of human sex trafficking? A tremendous problem in America today, mainly because we have opened the borders from Mexico, Guatemala, and Honduras, bringing in their drugs that are wiping our young people out and old people out. Not only the reaction of the merchants and the reaction of the monarchs, but thirdly, notice the reaction of the mariners or shipbuilders. Shipbuilders, verse 17. For in 1 hour so great riches has come to naught. And every shipmaster and all the company and ships and sailors and as many as trade by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? Every time I read this, I think about 9/11. You ever heard of 9/11? September the 11th, 2001, our two tallest buildings in the country were destroyed and took down, burned down. And we never thought that could happen. I remember I was driving my car and I had the radio on, and they broke in and said, we have an urgent message. We think that a plane has hit one of the tires. We think it was a plane. And while he's talking, he said, he got excited. He said, we just saw another plane hit the other tire. And I thought, well, this is some type of a program, you know, some kind of a made-up program. The more I listened, I realized it wasn't a made-up Hollywood story. It was true. And everybody went home and turned it on TV, and we sat there and couldn't believe what was happening. Couldn't believe it. The announcement of judgment, verse 1, 2, and 3. The appeal to God's people today, verses 4 through 8. The agony of the world's merchants, verse 9 through 19. Let me read verse 19. I didn't get to that, did I? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, alas, alas, that great city. And that great city is Rome. Wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness or her actually wealth. For in one hour she is made desolate. Number four and lastly, the attitude of heaven. The attitude of heaven. Verse 20. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets. For God hath, who's going to revenge? God hath revenged you on her. This is an answer to the prayers of God's people that were murdered, put to death for the cause of Christ. And they're said to be under the altar praying, how long, O Lord, before you revenge our deaths? And the Lord says, now, I'm going to revenge her. Not you. Don't you revenge. I'll do it. Verse 21. And a mighty angel took a stone like a great millstone and cast into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. Probably John uses Babylon for Rome as a code word, like Peter did. Peter used Babylon, representing Rome, in 1 Peter. Turn to 1 Peter. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 13. I'll wait till you get there because it's very important what we're going to see. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13. Peter says, the church that is at Babylon. At that time, there was no Babylon. But there was Rome, the great city of Rome, when Peter was alive and John was alive. Elect together with you, salute you, and so doth Marcus, that's Mark, my son. And so here Peter refers to the church at Babylon, and it's symbolic, as you see in your footnotes, for Rome. Now, John, no doubt, is referring to Rome. And you say, well, let me ask you, we should not rejoice over sinners going to hell. It ought to break our hearts. We should not rejoice because Babylon, Rome, the harlot, is going to be destroyed. Then why does God say rejoice? Because His justice is fulfilled. Matter of fact, turn to Romans chapter number 12. Romans chapter 12, listen to what the Bible says about not rejoicing over your enemy's misfortunes. Romans chapter 12, and we'll give you time to get there. Look at verse 17. Romans chapter 12, verse 17. recompense, that means reward, to no man evil for evil. In other words, somebody does something to you bad, and you say, well, I'll get even with them, and you do it back to them. Let me tell you something, when you get even, you're not getting ahead. You're going to be on the same, you get even somebody for what they do, you're on the same plateau with them. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. What does that mean? That means let God do it. Let God do the avenging. Give place unto wrath. For it is written, here it is, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. So I will repay. God said, I'll repay. Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Somebody said, what does that mean? That means you make them ashamed. You do good to somebody that does you wrong, and God will see to it, it'll make them feel awful, make them feel guilty. Someone has maybe says, someone here today or watching by internet, I can't believe that God would let anything like this happen, what you've been preaching on, destroying the religious power of Satan, along with his economical power and political power. I can't believe anything like that could happen. It already has. It already has. 2020, COVID hit our nation. The great city, New York, the world center of trade in the world, was brought to its knees. The Bible talks about no singing. You see, let me read it to you. Go back to Revelation. Revelation, and I'm through. Revelation, verse 22. And the voice of harpers and musicians and pipers and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee, and no craftsman. All the Hollywood theaters, all the New York theaters, all concerts were shut down. All amusement parks were shut down. Of whatsoever craft it be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. Sounds like electrical grid. Have we not seen our major cities in America through the last few years where all the electric goes out? Have we not seen in California where my daughter-in-law and my three grandchildren live, that they have to shut the power off for so many hours a day to save power? And the voice of the bridegroom and the bride will be heard no more at all in thee. In other words, there's going to be a time there'll be no more marrying. Sound like today? There's more people living together, not just young people, old people too. There's more people living together in sin than marrying. And did you hear what our president's going to do? For every woman that has a baby out of wedlock, they're going to get under 6 years old, $3,500 for each child. For each child. If my math is right, is that about $13,000? Yeah, buying votes. Not only that, it's encouraging people not to get married, but have sex with every different man comes along and have a baby by a different man every time. Don't you know? You know somebody like that. I know somebody like that. There may be somebody in your immediate family. And they've got three or four children and no father. Three or four different children by different men. Why would they want to get married when the government is going to tax you and punish you financially for getting married? But if you stay single and you've got children under 6 years old, every child, you're going to get $3,500. And for every child over 6 to 18, I believe it is, going to get $3,000 a child. Something's wrong. Something badly wrong. That's encouraging young people. Don't get married. But if you go ahead and have babies, the government's going to pay you for it. Why would people are begging for workers, can't get workers? Have you tried to eat out somewhere and they don't have enough workers? I went to one of my favorite places. Thank you for that card you gave me to my favorite place to get my butter-fingered blizzard, Dairy Queen. And I went to open the door and it's locked. And all the chairs are piled on top of each other. And the woman come out and said, "Sorry, sir, we're closed." I said, "How come?" She said, "We can't get any workers." She said, "Do you want to come to work here?" I said, "Honey, I'm too old. I'd eat all the profit." Try to get in Bankies. Bankies last week. They were swamped. They didn't have enough workers. Not enough cooks. Can't get anybody to work. Why? Why should they work when the government's paying you more money not to work than you can make working? Something's wrong somewhere. New York was brought to a standstill. Offices were closed down. Businesses closed down. You know, churches, they try to close churches down, and that's infringing on our rights of religion. And thank God the governor of the state of Kentucky was going to ask all churches to close down because of the pandemic. And a preacher friend of Bob Jones's, Lonnie Moore, pastors of Baptist Church on 27 in the main street of Nicholasville, he took it to the Supreme Court and won and said to the governor, "You cannot close down churches for the virus." Thank God for men like Lonnie Moore. See, we're losing our freedom. Little by little. And we hear it and see it every day of our lives. But I'm thankful to say that I'm not a least bit discouraged. I'm not a least bit depressed. I'm not going to go to a psychiatrist. I'm not going to fill myself with drugs and alcohol and say, "Give up, what's the use?" No, I believe in a sovereign God that has everything under control, and even the devil and the demons of hell, he's got them in his control, and everything, every president, every king, every monarch, and every leader is under the sovereign control of God. And nothing, are you listening? Nothing can come into your life and my life until it first passes through the divine will and sovereign love of God Almighty. Isn't that wonderful to know? But if you don't know the Lord, you don't have that hope. If you don't know the Lord Jesus, you can't say that. And that's why you need to be saved. First of all, you need to be saved before you die, or you'll split hell wide open. Secondly, you need to be saved before the rapture, or you'll be left behind and go through this terrible tribulation that we've been reading and studying for the last 6 months or so. But I want to tell you how to be saved. You got to recognize, realize, and admit you're a lost sinner on your way to hell. Step number one. Then realizing that, you must be willing to turn and give up that old life of sin, Satan, and even self. And an about face, that's what repent means. You turn to Jesus, and you receive Him as your Lord and Master. Believe in your heart that He died, was buried, and rose again for you as if you were the only one. Suffered your hell. What it would take you and I forever in hell to suffer, we can't imagine. He suffered that much for every one of His people in 3 hours on the cross. Shed His precious blood to pay for all of our sins that we might be saved and one day go to heaven to be with Him. Could you trust him? The Bible said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. The Bible said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Could you trust him today? You here today, you watching me by internet, could you right now accept Christ as your Lord and Savior? What about you, Christian? Do you need to come join the church? Move your letter? Maybe you need scriptural baptism? Or maybe you'd just like to come and commit your all to Jesus. Kind of call it rededication. But would you come publicly and say, Brother Morton, I want to totally commit my life. I know we're living in the last days. You don't have to preach on that, Brother Morton. I've been hearing that all my life, and I know we're in the close to the rapture. And I want to surrender my all to Jesus right today. Would you do that? Would you walk down this aisle? I'll meet you here at the front, pray with you, counsel with you, answer any questions you may have. Stand with me for the invitation. I'll be here to receive you. Brother Todd, what number are we going to sing?